were more notes coming out of there than I could even imagine. Wow. Thank you so much. Every Sunday, at the end of worship, just before the closing music, before the postlude, just before that last time we have together in worship, we have a benediction. Words of blessing. Words to carry us as we leave. Benediction is a Latin word, and it means simply good speaking, good words. Benediction. Those good words of blessing that were given, these are always God's words. Because they are the best words, the truest words to carry with us into a world that can beat us down and spin us around and break us up. The good words of benediction are a blessing and a reminder that God is with us, that God knows us, that God loves us, and that come what may, we belong to Him. Benediction. A benediction that I use probably most often is one that comes at the end of the Old Testament book of Numbers, or at the end of chapter 6 in Numbers. And some of you know it by heart. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Aren't those beautiful words to have spoken over your life? Words to carry with us as we go. Our youngest son, Peter, who's coming home tomorrow, Peter has a sort of mantra that he uses whenever he goes out the door. Wallet, cell phone, keys. Wallet, cell phone, keys. Things tucked in his pockets. And thinking about that, I was thinking, what if we had a sort of mantra? Wallet, cell phone, keys, benediction. Before we go out the door. Wallet, cell phone, keys, benediction. Reminding ourselves as we go that God goes with us. The Lord is blessing me and keeping me. He's making His face to shine upon me and He's being gracious to me. The Lord is lifting His face upon me and giving me His peace. Words as we go. Even though today's sermon text is not from Numbers 6, but it's from Psalm 80, I wanted to begin with this familiar benediction because of an essay that Miroslav Volf wrote. And part of what he wrote is this. I've always been fascinated by the phrase, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. God's blessing, God's protection, God's peace, God's grace, all part of the same benediction. But God's shining face outdoes them all. Because God's shining face concerns our very being. It stands for God's sheer delight that we exist and live before Him. It speaks of a God who can make His face shine on people in the midst of all kinds of darkness. God's face delighting in us, loving us, watching over us, God's face shining upon us. What an image. What a reality. Psalm 80. Psalm 80 is the prayer of a weighed down, burdened people. It's a prayer prayed from darkness toward the light that they longed for. Some have described Psalm 80 as a national lament. The brief background is that Israel had been invaded and ravaged by a huge foreign power, the kingdom of Assyria. And this prayer is a prayer for God to come and help them, to restore them. So listen as I read just the first three verses from Psalm 80. Hear us, shepherd of Israel. You who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I hear this, Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. I hear it, I read it with an ear toward what Miroslav Volf wrote. That we need, we long for God's blessing, protection, God's grace and peace. But God's shining face outdoes them all. Essentially, God's shining face encompasses everything we need. Because his shining face, not his darkened face, not his turned away face, and there are plenty of references to that in Scripture, but his shining face reflects his amazing love for us. Listen to a few other verses that about God's face, his shining face, that I'll read three brief ones. From 1 Chronicles 7:14. God said to Solomon late at night, right after the temple in Jerusalem had been completed, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." From Psalm 27, a prayer of King David's, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." And then finally, from Revelation 22, the last book in the Bible, where John records his vision of heaven. "The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face." The face of God, directed toward us, shining on us, shining like the sun. I thought about this last Sunday when a group of us were gathered out in front of the church, loading up the church bus to go downtown with 2535, our ministry to homeless people. And it was cold. It was only 5 degrees, but the clouds had cleared and it was sunny. And Peggy Erickson was standing out there just looking up like this. And she said, "It's so cold, but doesn't that sunlight feel wonderful?" Translate that from physics and weather to theology and blessing. Doesn't it feel amazing to stand in the sunlight, in the light of God's grace? His face shining upon us, even when life is so cold and the winds can be so biting at times. What an amazing sense of being in his sight. His face shining on us. It's a powerful image throughout Scripture, Old Testament to New. When God's face shines, when he turns his face toward his people, it's all about blessing and provision, about protection and help. And it's all about his love. His love made known to us, his delight that we exist. And what a gift to know God like this and to know that God is like this. And so when we come to this most central story of life, God's incredible move, all out of love, to make himself known to us, to save this world from sin and evil and death by sending his one and only Son. And now during Advent and Christmas, with our focus being steadily on the birth of Jesus. Isn't it amazing to think about it in this way? That God's face in Jesus becomes a literal, physical face. A face with skin, and a nose, and cheeks, and eyes, and a mouth. The face of God in the flesh. We heard it in John 1 this morning, where John wrote, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is God's blessing and provision, his protection, help. This is God's love in the flesh, in Jesus, born as a vulnerable baby in Bethlehem. There are countless artistic attempts to portray the birth of Christ. Imaginative paintings and drawings about how it might have looked in that cattle stall where Jesus was born. Beams of light radiating out in every direction. Maybe a halo or a glow around this infant child, this infant Christ. Light cutting out in every direction, piercing the darkness. And all we can do is to imagine how it might have actually looked. The light shines in the darkness, as John described it. The darkness has not overcome it. And as Jesus said later on, recorded in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How things actually appeared at the birth of Jesus is more than we can really capture in our minds. The sky filled with the presence of angels, a sky full of angels singing. And whether there was actual physical beams of light shooting out in every direction, or whether it was more of an overwhelming sense of God's glory crackling in the air, the word we're given is that there was light. Shining light. God's glory shining all around. There was a saturation of His presence at the arrival of His Son. And there was the shining of God's face. In Jesus, God's face literally becoming flesh, physical. But even more than this one-time event, in Jesus, by His birth, and then His life, and His death, and His resurrection, He came not just to physically shine, but to enter hearts, to shine into those dark areas of our hearts, deep on the inside, to forgive sins and to set us free. To set us free into the joy of life together with Him, living in the light of His shining light. It's what the prophet Isaiah said, pointing ahead, years before Jesus came. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Some of you know that I have a really animated dream life. Almost every night I have some very detailed dream, very graphic, often including people from random parts of my life, including sometimes some of you. Sorry. A lot of these dreams are just wild. But some of them have a little more sense. And some of them are so very real that when I wake up in the morning, I wonder where I've been. And sometimes they stay with me for a long time. Sometimes carrying a lot more weight than just a crazy dream. One that has stayed with me is from years ago. It happened during a long and difficult stretch in ministry. And I was feeling so very, very discouraged and worn down. In the dream, not surprisingly, I was out in a dry, rocky area, just dragging along. For whatever reason, I had to go down this long, dry road that seemed to have no end. I was hot, no water, running out of energy, and nothing but rock and dust all around me. But then up ahead, there was an open area with a rock wall and a bench, and there were two men up there, and they were waving me toward them. So I came dragging myself up to them, and I saw it was my two grandfathers, Carl Larson and Ed Johnson, who at that point in my life had been long since gone. And they looked happy and healthy, and they were waving me forward. And neither of them was much for hugging in life, and they weren't much for hugging in this dream. So we sat down together, and they just put a hand on each of my knees, and we just sat there. And then one of them said, Tim, how are you doing? And I said, I am so tired. I am so weary. I can hardly keep going. And they both just kind of nodded and smiled. And one of them said, you're doing okay, and patted my knee. Then I heard someone behind this rock wall, like boots on gravel, coming behind us. And before I could even look up, he was there in front of me with a pitcher of ice-cold water. And I took that water immediately and began chugging it down. And finally I looked up. And I knew it was Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. I couldn't give you a description of his face or what he was wearing or anything else, but it was an absolutely clear awareness that it was him giving me this cold water. And as I was trying to figure out what to say, he said this: Tim, you're doing all right. And you're not alone. It's going to be fine. And then that was it. It was so graphic that when I woke up in the morning, I was stunned to find myself in her bedroom. I thought for sure I'd be out on some road. And those words, Tim, you're doing all right, and you're not alone, it's going to be fine, they hung with me, blessing me, reminding me, giving me the assurance that I was not, that Sid and I and our kids, we were not alone. He was with us. His face shining on us. Everything didn't suddenly get better. In fact, some of the challenges we faced got even greater. But that deep, true assurance that ultimately, because of Jesus' presence, his promise, that things were okay. What a great gift to be given in a midweek dream. Listen again to part of Psalm 80. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, restore us, make your face shine on us that we may be saved. It's a prayer born out of crisis. A prayer of deep longing for things to be other than what they are right now. Even a prayer prayed from exhaustion, like on a long, dusty road that has no end. But it's also more than that. It's a prayer prayed with great hope. It's a prayer prayed with deep trust. It's a prayer prayed seeking the face of God. Seeking the blessing of God. Make your face shine on us, Lord. We seek your face. Jesus brings to us the face of God. He brings us blessing. He brings us light. He brings us benediction, giving us good words, the good news of the gospel to carry with us, to hold on our insides, and to work deeply inside of us. He offers himself to us when we seek his face, when we receive him for who he is. Listen again to part of what we heard from the Gospel of John earlier. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Children of God. Children on whom God's face shines. Have you received him as he is? Are you seeking his face? Moment by moment, day by day. I hope you are. I hope you have received him. Because Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this week, is the one who came to cast out darkness with his bright light and to forgive our sins that can be so potent and to restore our lives that can often be in high rebellion to everything about what he offers. I pray that you've received him, that you are seeking his face, asking him to shine his face upon you and all that that means. But if you haven't, or if you've drifted away, or if you are seeking other faces, other things, and he's become more of a blurry image in the background, or just a plastic baby in a manger, the good news, the great news, is that his invitation stands. He stands ready and eager to bless you, to come alongside of you, to hold you, to shine his face upon you and give you his peace. Maybe even meeting you in a dream, saying, I'm with you. I'll close with this and then we'll pray. From 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, shine on us. Shine on us with your glory. Shine on us with your blessing. Shine on us with your love and your peace into whatever darkened, tired, challenged, beat up, or closed off ears that we have. And restore us. Rebirth us. Refresh us. Fill us with a new sense of your presence with us. The light of the knowledge of God's glory in your face. Amen.